Now, tonight, our speakers are, one of them at least is well known to a lot of you, John Andrews and Lara McNamee.
Ah, well done.
You got a name right, that's good. That's extra points
Scottish
there.
Scottish and Irish. This. So, it's a very interesting talk, and what you told me before made it sound even more intriguing. So,
yes.
Pass over to you.
Okay, so I thought we'd start just the way we're going to work tonight is Lara here is going to interrogate. Is that the interview? That's
right,
the word.
Interview. At least you don't answer properly
yes,
then.
Yeah, exactly. So yes. Lara's going to interview me about my nearly 20 years in hospital radio and community radio, which is, I couldn't believe it actually. I was like, man, I know. I didn't look old. I don't look that old, do I? Wow.
No comment.
Thank you. So, and we're also recording it as well. Now worked out where the on button is on this equipment.
This isn't karaoke.
No.
But it can be.
If you
want
to do karaoke later, you know. So I thought we'd record it and then we can put it on our, we've got like a web page, might put the recording. So if anyone isn't here, then they can listen to it later. Yeah. So hopefully, fingers crossed. And we've got a few clips and things to play you of me on the radio as well, because I just like to hear my own voice, you know. What's not to like? I thought I'd start, though, this evening with a bit of an introduction for you about hospital radio, which is where I started out in 1999. So the earliest hospital radio service on record was actually in Washington, D.C., apparently. And that started back in 1919, which a long, long time ago. So I don't know too much about that, obviously, because I wasn't around at the time. but it was, I would imagine that over the years, hospital radio, I think the first one in the UK, 1925, and that was at York Hospital. The patients were able to listen via headphones and loudspeakers in the wards to a selection of sports commentaries and church services as well. And really, over the sort of the following decades, hospital radio really grew. More and more hospitals sort of jumped on the bandwagon, and the peak really was in the 1980s when there was around about 300 hospital radio stations. And there are many, many hospital radio stations nowadays. We face all sorts of challenges with the people not being in hospital for so long. So before we had, I guess you'd call it a captive audience, people in hospital for a while, they're able to listen and they're able to keep listening and we're able to build up rapport. But now people are in and out in a day, so it is a bit of a struggle. And technology as well, because there's lots of options in hospital. Now, if you're in hospital, you can take your tablets, computers, and you can all sorts of things. So there's a lot of competition. So it is a bit of a struggle, but we keep going and provide entertainment for the patients as well, which I think's very important. And at the moment, I looked this up on the internet, there's around 2,500 volunteers working in hospital radio at the moment, just the last count, which I think is pretty amazing when you think people giving up their time. And at Radio Way, we just have a volunteer team of about 50 or 60 people, and we managed to fill a radio station with that. Mm-hmm. So over to you, Lara.
To me. Okay, so many of you don't know me. My name's Lara McNamee. I've been in the media industry for over 20 years. I'm also John's partner of crime in the real world, and we also have a show that I co-present with John on Radio Way, and I have my own show for Listen with Lara show on Sundays. Little plug there,
which is well worth listening. Yes, apart from my show, it's probably the best show to listen to. Oh. I would say.
So John, who's been around for 20 years doing this, I've been doing it for a year, so I've got a lot to learn. But it's enough about me. Let's hear more about John. So
yes.
So we're going to play this more of a kind of a an audience with, but I want, you know, feel free to ask questions. This isn't just about my voice and John's voice. Jump in at any time,
isn't
as
it?
Well. And please, if anyone can't hear or if anyone wants us to re-say the questions, please just shout. Okay, so John, I'm going to take you right back.
Yes.
Right back to the day you were born, actually.
Actually, at St. Peter's Hospital. Yes.
You took the line off me.
I did.
And not only that, is the home of Radio Way.
Yeah, I could almost see out of the label ward, looking out the window, my early hours.
I have a question for your mum. Were you listening to the hospital radio back then? Is that where John got it from?
Oh, I didn't know anything about it.
Brilliant.
Wrong answer.
But somewhere on the way, you got the inspiration. So I'm going to fast forward you to 16, 70 years ahead.
Something like that.
Put your shoulders down, relax.
Something like
deep
that.
Breath.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, you know, I was always an interest in radio growing up and, you know, going along.
He was always interested.
Yes, yes, my dad was very interested, so I kind of got it from there, the offshore radio stations in the, back in the day, Radio Caroline and all that. And I think I remember going to a radio roadshow, I think, when Toys R Us was opening. Seems to be a memory. I don't remember much about it, but I was very young. And a tour of a radio station in County Sound in Woking. They had a studio in Woking for a while. Some of you may remember. So I did a tour of that when I was in the Scouts. And then, I don't know, the interest has always been there. And then I remember one day when I was at school, we're talking about 1993, 1994 kind of era, we were asked to do a radio play. And I thought, oh, this sounds interesting. And it was very basic. I mean, literally, we had a double tape deck and a sound effects tape on one and a little microphone. So it was literally done on a shoestring. But I did that, and it was like, you know, pressing play, play the sound effect, press pause, talk, and do whatever. And from that moment, I think that was a moment that I thought, actually, this sounds like a lot of fun and something I'd like to pursue, really.
Okay. So would you say, were you quite an outgoing kind of child teen? Was this a confidence builder?
I think it was a confidence builder because I did have confidence issues when I was younger, and I still do to a certain extent. And I think radio is really useful for me to build my confidence and make me a more confident person in the world. So there's a lot of transferable skills there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So brilliant. So we've got the whole St. Peter's piece. So mm-hmm. You're kind of a bit like a Truman Show. Anyone that's seen that film, The Truman Show, born at the hospital.
You sound a lot like Jim Carrey, really.
So you had some experience in it, but so would you say it was your dad that inspired you into the radio?
I think so, yes, I think so.
Did you have any kind of other role models that you were looking up to, any presenters that were really kind of...
I was always sort of listening to radio, you know, talk radio stations and phone-ins and things like that, and I phoned up a few times as a kid, and I've got the tape recordings of me phoning up a local BBC station to talk about whatever they were talking about, you know, even had to make it up, you know, I wanted to be on the radio, so I'm like, okay, yes, I've got an interest in stamp collecting. Actually, I know nothing about it, but, you know...
So you've got a reputation of stalking some radio stations.
I wouldn't say that, but I've got an old cassette somewhere of me ringing up radio stations. My brother rang a few up as well, and back in the day. But then from the schools, I mentioned the drama class. I thought, right, I want to sort of look into the future. When you're sort of leaving school, looking at college, I thought it'd be really good to get some sort of training and some sort of education in media and specifically radio. Mm-hmm. So I went along to Brooklands College. 1998 to 2000 after I left school, and I did media studies, and actually there was 1 hour a week of radio and the rest was all TV and film and stuff, and everyone
and
loved
it. That did interest you at all?
It was interesting, but it wasn't really what I wanted to do. I mean, okay. I found the radio, the 1 hour a week on radio, that was like, you know, I sort of really put myself out there and did that and enjoyed it, and everyone else was like, you know, sitting there yawning when the radio lessons on there. They want to get out the cameras and go and film stuff on the high street. I'm like, I'll be on radio because no one can see you on radio. Sorry, you don't have to do your hair, you don't have to do anything, it's fine, you can just turn up in your pyjamas and talk rubbish.
So 20 years later we sit you down in front of a load of people.
But I've got a shirt on now, I'm not in pyjamas today. So
at what point did you join Radio Way? Was it around that sort of time?
I remember as part of a college course I was doing, doing the college course, and we were asked to do a work experience placement. So there's a radio station in Hazelmere and Alton called Delta Radio, which I think was linked to County Sound. So I went along there and did some work experience.
Okay.
So this was around about June 1999, I think.
What did you do for that?
One of my main jobs, they had a What's On diary, so I helped compile that. So go on the very high tech at the time, but very low tech now computer system.
Okay.
Windows 3.1 sort of affair. and so I did that. And then they said, oh, they need me to go through the log tapes. And they had a restaurant, I think, had sponsored some competition. And I had this, all the material broadcast by the radio station was recorded on a series of VHS tapes. Mm. Nowadays, it's all done on a computer. Back then, we had VHS tapes. So they said, right, there's going to be, you know, we need mentions taken out, so I had to basically transfer from the tape all the mentions of this restaurant so they can give them a copy of when they've been mentioned and everything. So I did that, so that was really exciting. And then just as I finished that, I had applied previously, first of all, to Radio Lion in Guildford, because I thought that was, you know, I went to look at them and I thought, yeah, they didn't get back to me. Radio Way came back first, and I joined up and been there ever since.
So this is history.
Quite lucky I didn't go to Red Lion because they folded recently, unfortunately.
Yeah. So that was the Guildford. That was in the Guildford Hospital.
It was, yes. This is the Royal Selby Hospital in Guildford. And this is, unfortunately, a pattern we're seeing around the country at the moment. Hospital radio, kind of, you know, you get a Costa Coffee or Starbucks or WH Smith come in and say, look, we need that space. And basically, they boot the hospital radio out sometimes, and that happens around. So, I think, you know, Radio Way, we're broadcasting on the internet, which gives us more of an audience as well. So I think that's quite a good thing rather than just being within the hospital, because it means.
Take me back. The start of Radio Way. Mm. You're there. You're a young chap. There's lots of new people.
Yeah.
What did that bring you? What did that bring you? Like being at a station, actually having your hands on the decks yourself.
I thought it was really exciting. I mean, obviously they wouldn't let me loose on my own straight away, so I had to be trained up by one of the other members. So I'd turn up on a Thursday night, I think it was, and a Sunday night, and there I was, just co-presenting. And gradually, the person that was training me said, oh, they were supposed to be doing a sports programme. I know nothing about sports. And they said, I've got to go away for a bit. Something's happened. Can you just, like, cover it? Like, yeah. Okay, I'll try. So I remember on teletext, this is how long this is like, how we found out information back in the day on teletext. And I remember sort of trying to read some sports results. And of course, I forgot to press the hold button. Remember, you press the hold button on teletext to hold the page? Yeah, I forgot to do that. So it went on to, I think it was Welsh or some teams with long names that weren't even relevant. So I tried to pronounce them, but I didn't do very well.
So knowing you so well, knowing that sport is so not your thing.
Not my thing, no. I blagged my way for a sports programme, though, true story.
Well done.
Yeah.
So you're starting out. When did you do your first interview? Do you actually remember doing that?
I don't actually remember my first interview, no. I think I did, as part of my college course, I interviewed people, mainly family about things and put stuff together. Mm. But for Radio Way, I can't remember, actually. I mean, I think that came a lot later, actually. Mm-hmm. So, I love doing interviews because I think everyone's got a story. Mm. Everyone's got a story inside them. And I think it's really interesting to get them in front of the microphone, get them on the end of a phone and just talk to them and find out more about what makes people tick. And I love that sort of thing.
And tell me about, Radio Way for a period went on to FM.
Oh, yes, yes. In fact, I don't know if we've got the whole DVD set there.
Yeah, just remind you on your facts.
Oh, just here, yes. So this
is proper retro.
Yeah. So this was 2005, 2006, and this was Radio Way FM. So this was the 40th anniversary of Radio Way, and they got all the people around in the 70s back together, and we had a month on FM, and that was really amazing. Really enjoyed that. And this is like a DVD of everything, the whole lot, whole month on special DVDs. That's amazing. There's about 4 weeks worth of stuff on there. So.
And that's Cliff Richard there on the front.
Oh, that is Cliff Richard. Cliff Richard actually opened the Radio Wave Studios back in 1989. So we've got a picture of a very youthful-looking Cliff Richard.
We've got a really good sound piece from him as well, where he says Radio Wave, but he says, why?
Yeah.
It makes me laugh every time.
Yeah. I've got one of Cliff Richard saying that he listens in whenever he's in the area.
No, Chris Tarrant.
That's Chris Tarrant, yeah, of course. Yeah.
So. Well, that's fantastic. Do you know, I think it's probably a good time for us to hear a bit of your
Absolutely.
Radio Wave.
Yes. I'm just going to press this.
Okay. High tech again.
Yes, there's a power button there. So.
And please, if anyone's got any questions or anything you'd like to just clarify or any of your own stories, please join in.
Absolutely. So we're going to try and be high tech here now.
You're going to play. Right.
Going to try and be. So we're going to hear a piece I put together. This is every year they have the Hospital Broadcasting Awards, and I always try and put an entry together, which is a 5-minute clip of just me on the radio trying to showcase that my understanding of the audience and what I do. And then they have a number of categories and awards ceremony. And unfortunately, this year, I didn't get shortlisted. I've been shortlisted once, but I didn't get shortlisted for this. I was shortlisted in the best speech category this year, which I'll play you a clip of that later on. But for now, this is 5 minutes of me on Radio A. Good morning! Good morning! I just said that.
Radio A. This is Radio A with John Andrews.
Good morning, not a bank holiday on the 3 today. I know, sorry about that. It is in France, but I know that doesn't help you right now. But we can get motivated together with our Monday motivation. 15 minutes of songs to put a smile on your face, starting with this one. Oh, yes! This is how you start a radio show on a Monday morning. Billy Joel, Uptown Girl, let's do this!
Unexpected item in the bagging area.
Oh, my goodness. It's actually you.
Yeah. You either love me or you want to kill me. I don't know. One of the odds.
This is the thing. I was actually going to apologise for the times I've, you know, got frustrated over, you know, unexpected item in the bagging area. Assistance is coming. I'm standing there waiting. The light's flashing. So, you know, it's nothing personal.
I had a letter from the Queen when I was 100.
When you were 100. That was 3 years
I'm
ago.
103 now.
Oh, my goodness.
Just to say...
So congratulations on your milestone. The memories you must have being 103.
Oh, I haven't.
Living through four different ones.
I can make you laugh.
Go on then, make me laugh. Come on. We like a laugh. Come on then.
I used to be a very naughty girl.
I don't believe that for 1 minute.
I used to put bricks on one door, around the corner, pull the brick and out, you snap the doors.
You got all sorts of mischief by the sounds of it. And your mischievous grin coming back on your face now. Yeah. So, do you remember the big events like the Queen's coronation in 1952?
Oh,
do you remember? Yeah.
Wasn't it wet?
Oh, well, I wasn't there. Oh. It's in the 1990s. You want to find out how your football team's doing, or you want to find out if your flight's delayed or whatever. You look on CFAX on your telly, because that was like the internet of the 90s. And then, of course, we all got smartphones and it became very redundant. Because when I started here at Radio A back in the day, we used to have to find the weather on CFAX, hold the page and hope it'd move on to the next page before we were ready for it to do so. OK, so, Cody, this is a bit of a history lesson for you now. So this is the first ever Now album, and this is over 30 years old. Does that seem quite old to you?
Yeah. Wait a minute, there's two!
Have you ever played a vinyl record before?
No.
Do you want me to show you?
I want to know how.
We take the record. Do you want to do it? Put it on like that. Push it down. Okay. Okay, so see that button that says start, stop? You want to press that? Okay, press start, stop. There you go. You've just played a vinyl record there. How do you feel?
Bored.
Oh, okay. John in from Mandy this morning. I keep trying to tell myself it's not Monday because I'm usually here on a Monday, and I get even more confused towards the end of the show when Chris comes in, because Chris normally follows me on a Monday. Chris Hussey will be here between 12 and 3 for the Friday getaway. Looking forward to that. In fact, that's probably the best way to start the weekend. Get yourself in the mood for the weekend. Chris Hussey here from 12 o'clock. Right now, this is Ed Sheeran on Radio Way from St. Peter's Hospital in Chertsey. Good morning. You all right? Boiling hot out there already, and we're only at 11 minutes past 9 in the morning. So I think Monday morning always easier to deal with when the sun is shining. But if you are out and about, you may need your suntan lotion. I know. Memo to myself at a Black Cherry Fair. Guess what I forgot? Yeah, the suntan lotion. I know. I'm paying for it now. Got a lovely red face. It's fine. It's fine. Next time I will remember suntan lotion. I'll write a big post-it note and stick it on my forehead. If I forget the suntan lotion, if a post-it note's big enough to cover my head, I can use that as a shelter, as a sort of a suntan protection thing myself, I guess. Are you a fan of Strictly Come Dancing and things like that on
TV? Yes, I am. Yes.
How do you rate the celebrities you see on the Come Dancing?
Some of them I can meet. I do put them to pieces, and I say to you, we ain't got two bloody left feet. My husband has as well.
You're quite a harsh critic then.
Yeah, I am. Yes,
well, you're
I
an
am.
Expert yourself, aren't you, at
yeah,
the dancing?
Yeah, I love dancing. I love the tango, the foxtrot, all of that we did.
It's really nice to chat to you, Maisie.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Right, okay.
Your shoelaces
are... Oh, they are undone, I know. So I'm not going dancing, isn't it? You're in hospital, not feeling too great. I wish you a speedy recovery, and hopefully you'll be back home before you know it. Take care. Bye-bye. Radio Way.
I have to say, I just love the lady saying about your shoelaces, because I nag him about that all the time.
That was a true story. And
that's why he doesn't have shoelaces.
Yeah, I don't have shoelaces now as a result of that. Yeah, response now. But yeah, that was actually, you know, I just love the spontaneity of radio, because, you know, I'd finished the recording and that was, I guess, like an outtake. But I thought, you know what, leave it in because it's funny, you know. Yeah. And I think radio is great because it's a personal medium. And when I'm doing it, I'm always sort of like talking to the person as an individual. So it's the listener rather than hello everybody out there. It's like hello, how are you? So it's a personal thing, and you build up a relationship between presenter and listener. So yeah. I think that's a very,
that's why it works so well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
So I know you always love talking to different varieties of people from all genres and everything. Tell me about the checkout lady with the baggage items.
Yes, I mean, this was in the clip you heard. Actually, by the powers of the internet, I went on Twitter and I found the lady who does the voice of the self-service checkout for Morrison's randomly. And I thought, right, you know what? She's got to come on the radio. Mm. So I invited her on and we had a little chat. And turns out she lives in Guildford. Who knew? And they haven't actually got Morrison's in Guildford, apparently, so yet.
Yeah. She'll be lynched.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that's quite a good thing.
Yeah. So you go to social media quite a lot then to source your guests?
Yes.
How do you go about that? I mean, do you just look out into the papers and...
Yeah, I look at the papers. So I'll see an article, talking about some new research or something, and I'll find in their article somewhere there'll be the name of a company or name of a spokesperson or some sort of contact, and I'll go on Twitter, which I think is amazing, really useful resource for me, and I'll search for that person and get hold of them and invite them to come talk to me on the radio, which, you know, works quite well. I've had all sorts of weird and wonderful people on over the years, and I put all my interviews on a website as well, so if anyone's interested, I can give you the web address. You can have a listen to that later.
And who do you say has been your best guest so far? I mean,
well, for me, I would say there's a group, because for my day job, I work for Mencap as a support worker, so working with adults with learning difficulties. And I think there's a really is a sort of a link between people who have learning difficulties and radio, because back many years ago at Radio Way, there was a young chap by the name of Mark who has Asperger's syndrome, and he came to radio, I guess, just to kind of build his confidence. So maybe sort of the same way that I was doing it, really. And I'd been there a few years and I was asked to train him up, and we worked around various barriers and things. So, you know, he would find it uncomfortable walking around the ward, so we'd arrange for his dad to be at the end of each sort of bay on the benches, so that if there was any issues he could run to his dad and I could sort of, you know, carry on, get the requests and everything. And that worked really well, and then gradually his dad would go off and he became more comfortable. We remained good friends, and I go and see him and his brother sometimes, and we've just been to see them recently, so he's doing really well. And I really think that, as I say, there is a link between learning difficulties, and I'd like to do some sort of project involving people and giving people with disabilities a voice, because I think it's a wonderful way for them to communicate.
So tell me about this group you recently saw.
Yes, so there's a group called Dramatize, and they're based in Ashford. So Dramatize is, I guess, a theatre group. They use performing arts for people with various learning difficulties, and they have like a sort of a day centre, and they do all sorts of trips and events and all sorts of things. And I got in touch and said, you know what, we should definitely do something for the radio. So I went down to record an interview with them, and I actually gave them the chance to interview me. So if you like, turning the tables. So, you know, they were able to, over the course of their weekly sessions leading up to my visit, which was on a Tuesday morning, previous couple of Tuesdays, they all sat down and they brainstormed and worked out what they were going to do, and I went along and recorded it, and we played it on the radio.
Have you got a clip of that?
I have, yes. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is... basically, when I let the guys from Dramatize, there's Simon and Holly, I think the guys' names are, and they said they basically asked me questions and I tried to answer them. So let's have a listen to this.
Favourite, because you're out a film.
Favourite film?
Yeah.
Oh, I like comedies, things that make you laugh.
What's favourite, go out with your dinner?
Favourite place to go out for dinner? I would say probably a pub to get a nice meal.
Well, I'll take it, John.
Okay, thank you. That's a very good question, Simon.
What's your favourite go out in the park? our favourite thing if I go out in the park. I think if the weather's nice and it's not raining, it's quite nice to go out in the park and have a picnic.
That's nice. What's your favourite ice cream?
Oh, probably going to be a 99 with flake and a bit of sauce on there as well.
That's nice.
Yeah, very nice.
What's your favourite fruit?
I quite like bananas because they're really healthy and they give you energy.
What's your favourite music?
Favourite music? I like just happy music, things that can that you can relax to and makes you feel in a good mood.
That's nice. What's your favourite? What's your favourite swimming?
I quite like swimming. I don't go as much as probably I should, but I quite like the back going backwards, backstroke.
That's good. Thanks.
They have really good questions, aren't they?
So that was Simon and Holly from Dramatise, I felt that sort of doing something like that really empowered them and sort of gave them a voice, really, and a sense of. I don't know, I just felt it was a really positive thing to do, and I played that on my radio show, and they were all able to listen into the podcast afterwards. So What reactions? I think they all enjoyed it. I think they're sort of the families and everything, they enjoyed sort of hearing themselves on the radio. I think one of the questions they asked me, what do I think of their teacher's house? I was like, I've never actually been there, so I don't know. I had to cut that out, so that... But no, I think positive reaction, and it's something that I would do again to work with them and come up with some sort of project where we can get involved and get them involved. And
well, we have done some. You've done some jingles, haven't you?
Yes, we did some. We made an advert called a community news trailer for Radio Wave, which we were going to play. So we went along and recorded it and got give a flavour of what goes on in their activity centres as well. Yeah. So it's definitely an ongoing thing and make some contacts there, which is what it's all about, really.
Yeah, and we actually saw them at the Waterford Festival of Lights.
Yes.
And they recognised you and they were, did. You know, kind of there on standby, weren't you, and helping him through the act, because there was quite a few people. And
oh, that was a fun experience. Walton, this is a Christmas light switch on last year in Walton on Thames. Yeah. We got thrown in the deep end a bit, didn't we?
A little bit,
Yes, we got told, we went along to help. We thought we'd be handing out leaflets and maybe doing a bit of stuff on stage.
I ended up standing on stage singing with children.
Yeah.
I don't even know how that happened, but it happened.
Because someone turned up with this. It's fine. We've got some music to play to entertain the crowds. It's fine. Someone brought their iPod along and it had military dancing music on it, which is just what you want when you switch on the Christmas lights. Yeah. So, and then they went home and took their iPod. So we had to improvise for several hours.
It was definitely a learning experience for
definitely
me.
Definitely a
learning
experience, yes, definitely.
So, yeah, that's a brilliant. That's great about the Dramatise side of it. And I think, you know, evolving from Mark as well.
Yes,
and,
definitely.
And, you know, the work you did with Mark.
I mean, yeah, I think with Mark, I mean, I mentioned my paid job working for Mencap. I think actually working with Mark on the radio all those years ago, that's kind of led me down the path. I mean, at that point in my life, I was working at Tesco's and, to be honest, you know, I was pretty bored. Wasn't really enjoying working in a supermarket because it was a very... I don't know, it's a very impersonal thing. You know, I was getting told, you know, I don't know your name, but you need to do this. And I was like, enough's enough. And I thought, I need to do something more worthwhile. And working with Mark gave me the experience and I suppose the sort of the confidence to later down the line think, yeah, I can do this. So I take a number of my people I work with, people I support with Mencap. I take them to the radio studios as well sometimes. So they enjoy doing that and get their picture taken with the headphones on, stick them on their bedroom wall, you know.
It's quite funny because we've got a presenter called Chris Hussey, and one of your people that you work with that you take out and take down to the station, they think of him as a celebrity because they've heard him on the radio.
They met in a pub.
When you were working, didn't they?
Yes, randomly. We just went for something to eat in Surbiton Wetherspoons of all places, and this Chris Hussey happened to be there. And I said, oh, look, it's Chris Hussey. They ran over. They're like, Chris Hussey. It's like, calm down. He's not actually a celebrity. But in their eyes, he was.
Yeah. So.
But he loved it. He was, you know, signing napkins and everything, you know.
Brilliant stuff.
Yeah.
So, okay, so we've gone from the positives and the really great work you've done, not to drag it down, but What's been the worst interview that you've done, or the worst kind of experience you've had?
I suppose a negative experience. One time I remember there was a group, I got emailed a press release from a band, two lads from Sweden who had released a record, and they wanted to come on and talk on the radio, and it was from somebody that I'd previously talked to. It was like their sort of PR person. So they sent a message and they said, look, here's their phone number, phone them up and, you know, we'll they'll be fine. And I got their press release and it was all in perfect English, because I was worried that, you know, being Swedish, would they be able to actually speak English? That crossed my mind. But the press release was so perfectly worded, I thought, okay, it's fine. So got their number and everything, and we arranged it, and I phoned them up. Turns out their English wasn't brilliant, and they were speaking to me on speakerphone from the other end of the room, and I couldn't hear them. They couldn't hear me. They couldn't understand what I was talking about. So that's probably the shortest interview I did.
I was going to say, it can't have been a long
one.
We
accidentally got the line cut off after about 20 seconds on that one, and we
moved
on. Terrible
when that happens.
Yes, yes. Here's Britney Spears. We seem to have lost that.
Okay, so any others, or is that the key one?
I had Ray Brooks. He was Mr. Ben, and he was, you know, that was, he was, I found him quite awkward to talk to.
Yeah.
He was quite sort of, I gave him, nothing worse when you're doing a radio interview and you get a big build-up, you know, I'm going to welcome the fantastic blah, 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 he's done this, that and the other, and he's here now, how a hire, and he goes, right. Okay, where do you go from there? It's very awkward. He was a bit like that, just kind of like deadpan and okay. So,
and I have to say, I listened to it, and I remember, and it's before I actually knew you. I remember listening to you on the radio hearing this, and I'm thinking,
oh, yeah, she fell in love with my voice apparently.
Yeah, apparently. yeah, I have been called a Radio Wave groupie, wasn't it? John Andrews groupie at one point. Not. Yeah, I remember listening and thinking you handled it really well, because I don't think I would have been as polite.
Yeah, but a good thing about that one was it started off awkward, but I kind of persevered with it a bit, and I think by the time we were done, he was a lot more friendlier.
Yeah.
I think he sort of warmed to me, and I warmed to him a bit as the course of the interview went on, so we sort of turned it around a bit, thankfully.
And what about the time? So we go to outdoor events, as well, as we said, and there was the opportunity where we went to the... the part with Philip Hammond.
Oh, yes.
When we bumped into Philip Hammond.
Yes.
Tell the story about how you made him laugh your interview.
This was the Magna Carta celebrations. We managed to get hold of a press pass, which was quite good. Just meant going along on a Sunday morning, and they're handing out champagne in glasses. It's 10 o'clock in the morning, and I've got a microphone and a recorder, a clipboard, and someone hands me this glass of wine. I'm thinking, I just need to... you know, get rid of a glass of wine. So got rid of that. And then Philip Hammond was there, and you kind of lynched him in a way.
Yeah, so we put it quite nicely, because my background, back in the day, I was a journalist, and I've done all sorts of media and all sorts of things. So I wasn't so worried about going up to this Philip Hammond and just saying, look, you know, this guy's on the radio and he's really great. And, you know, he just couldn't say no, basically.
Yes.
The other guy ran off.
Didn't he say, I've got to go and do Sky News and then I'll be back in a minute? Yeah. And you made sure he came back. You were standing in front of him. You were like, right.
I just knew it was such an opportunity for the radio station as well. And he was a lovely guy, actually.
Yeah, he's lovely.
And,
yes.
Yeah,
and we had just a chat. This is the unveiling of a statue of a queen to mark the anniversary, the 800th anniversary of Magna Carta.
Yeah.
And he was talking about the statue, and he was talking about, and I think I made a comment about the queen's approved it all, but she hasn't seen the back version of it. And I was like, so she hasn't seen her backside or something. And he laughed, so that went down quite well.
He
said no comment, and
no
a nervous
comment.
Laugh. So there you go. I got a no comment out of Philip Hammond. So I was quite pleased about that.
So I'm going to take you on to, we spoke about the HBA Awards, so you've been nominated a few times for Best Male Presenter.
I have, yes, and a couple of times, 2009, I did some work with people with disabilities, and we put together a radio programme, and that was nominated in the 2009 Hospital Radio Awards, so that's a trip up to Glasgow to go and see if I get an award. I didn't get one, unfortunately, but I got a certificate, so that was quite nice.
You won a community award, was it? Year or
this
two
was
years ago,
community Green Oak Community Volunteer Working Volunteer Award. So I've had I won that for my volunteering at Radio Way in 2016, and I was runner up last year, I think, as well. So that was good. But yes, the Hospital Radio Awards every year, as I mentioned, we put together around the end of the year, sort of October time, we put together a clip of just basically a selection, and you heard my entry that I entered earlier for Radio Way. And I also entered this year for Best Speech Package. So this is a 5-minute clip of basically a speech-based program or speech-based feature where I show my understanding again of hospital audience and everything. And there was this in St Peter's Hospital. I don't know if any of you know the Swan Ward in St Peter's Hospital. If you know, it's one of the wards there. Anyway, they've got this thing called a lunch club, where every Thursday lunchtime they'll do the patients, rather than sitting in their bed to have their dinner and their lunch, they'll come out to a table and they set some trestle tables up in the middle of the ward and they all come out and they all socialise and everything. So I went up and made a little feature and talked to some of the people behind it and talked to some of the patients. Yeah. And that's been put forward for the final for the Hospital Radio Awards for this year. So we find out end of March, going to go to Windsor this year, so it's nice and local. Going to go there and see how that one goes.
And the great thing about this is that, you know, John, you understand. Every week, John will go up to the wards and he will spend lots of time with people. He will talk with them. He will make sure they're tuned in. I don't think anyone else in the station actually goes to as much effort as what John does.
Oh, thank you.
And it's because of that they invited you down. And it was a special moment. It was a big thing for them.
Yes.
And you're going to hear this, but it's really, really is a lovely piece.
Okay. So I'm going to play you this. This is the Swan Ward Lunch Club for St Peter's Hospital. So let's see if we can play that.
My name is Sarah Tyman and I'm the physiotech on Swan Ward. We look to encourage patients to come and eat together because we're trying to encourage them to socialise a bit more because it gets a bit lonely on their own in their own base. And what we're looking to do is to really get them used to being with people again and also being a bit more mobile. As a physio team, we're always looking to find ways to encourage patients to move around the ward and then we can let them get them more confident to get themselves home again.
And this is a really simple idea, but really effective.
Very effective. And what we do is we link it in with another group that we do on a Tuesday, which is an exercise group. So anyone we get to the exercise group, we then invite them to the lunch club. So they're always involved in something and socialising.
Bertha Walter.
You finished your food already, have you?
Yes,
it must be good then if you've eaten it all, empty plates.
Enjoyed it. Well, the funny thing is, it's my husband's birthday.
Oh, okay.
So,
so we're celebrating it here.
So this is this is a birthday party then, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know what he's doing, but I'm enjoying it myself.
As long as you're enjoying it, that's the main thing.
Boy, enough, I'm full up.
What we're looking to do is involve all staff on the wards.
Hi, my name's Jessica Thiel. I'm one of the doctors on Swan Ward. Got the table in the middle of the bay for the ones that are able to walk and come in, and then we put it in the dementia bay so that they have the stimulus as well. One of the patients loves singing, so yeah.
My old man to follow the van, and go dilly-dally on the way. You got a fun upon the fun of the solly little way.
If they get up and they're out in their own clothes, they feel as though they're getting better. Yeah. And that's what we're trying to encourage.
A lot of this is about dignity, isn't it, as well, I suppose, and treating people like humans.
Yes, yeah. It is. That's right. And that they remember that they're not patients anymore. They're actually people just that have had an injury of some kind and need to get out there and start getting better.
Oh, it's marvellous. It makes you out of where you are and move. Well, for me, it moved me somewhere else. And I'm with people, you know, I like to be with people.
When you're socialising, you don't realise you're eating at the same time. And then before you know it, you've finished all your food. And that's a good thing.
Yes, so, you know, getting together and having a meal with people and getting conversation going, it's not just about what you're eating, it's about the surroundings as well.
It is. Yeah. It's all about that.
I'm planning on being a regular.
Excellent.
And I just hope that it all lasts and grows, and so I mean, it's nice meeting people from other wards. I mean, it's like alien culture, isn't it? You know, you're from another ward.
So what we're wanting to do is to get them more active.
Yeah.
So that's why we encourage them to walk to the table. So from each bay, we get them eating again because they haven't been, because they're suddenly involved with other people and they're socialising and they're eating the food without realising it. So we're improving on their nutrition and for well-being also. It makes them feel a bit better in themselves. Absolutely. And they start smiling again.
Yes, and you know, it leads to better sort of mental health as
yes,
well.
Yes, absolutely. Fantastic. It leads to a lot of good stuff. And then what we do is that having done all that and when they get back to their own base, we document this so that the relatives can then see what they've been doing and we can actually make a difference with their eating as well as their mobility. And also it's nice to involve the relatives and the doctors because it's great to have a group of you around.
Aileen McLeish and I'm the chairman of the trust. It's fantastic and it's great to see the patients all being very lively, engaging with each other and being able to socialise with each other. A hospital can be a very alienating environment, so with the help of the staff, getting them all together and making these friendships is helping them with their recovery. So I think it's a fantastic idea. Everyone is a human and everyone has their own way of recovering, and this allows people to sort of engage in their own way.
Joan Wilshire, and I'm from Chelmsford in Essex.
Oh, okay, you've come a long way today, didn't you?
I know. All the food has been lovely and they all do so much to help you. Couldn't wish for anything better.
So there you go, that's a positive outlook on hospital food. Who knew, eh? Yeah. Yeah, come a long way since.
Definitely travelled for that one.
Absolutely, yeah. She came all the way from Chelmsford just to have a hospital fit by that.
So tell me, that doesn't sound like an easy thing to put together. I mean, that sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, well, actually, that was for the Hospital Broadcaster War piece. They wanted a 5-minute clip, and I'd already had this, but I put music clips in and things, and I quite like finding music that's appropriate. So I put a clip of Food, Glorious Food, and Walking Back to Happiness and things like that that fit in with the actual subject matter. So that usually works quite well. So I had a 15-minute piece, and I had to cut it down, so I had to slice all the music out. That's the 5-minute version.
Okay.
But basically, I'll go up to the ward with my recording equipment, which I've brought with me.
You can show later.
Yeah, I'll show you later. I've brought this microphone and a little recorder, an iPad as well, even. And I go to the ward and I just recorded a series of interviews. So I interviewed one of the nurses about what they did. Each interview is recorded separately. And I put the interviews on my laptop and then I just sort of cut it and edit it so that there's clips and different voices and it turns into a radio feature. So that's a skill I picked up and I think it works quite well.
People laughing as well. You always have a way of making people laugh. Absolutely. And in hospital, I just think that's an amazing thing because...
Yes, absolutely. Do you know what Tony Blackburn said? I think I was reading his autobiography. He said that the best thing ever on radio is laughter.
Mm.
You know, a lot of people think, oh no, you can't get the giggles. But if you're laughing on radio, I'm happy. That's going to make everyone else happy, isn't it? That's the way I look at it.
It's a good strategy.
Absolutely, yes, definitely.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Does anyone have any questions at this point at all? Or anyone, anything they'd like to ask John? Any questions?
Can I ask, how long, when are you actually putting your programmes on? You're at work all day.
Yeah.
So when are these radio wave programmes on?
Unfortunately, my job with Mencap is I have a very erratic rotor, so it's kind of put pay to... I'm not there as much as I was in the past, but my specific shows on Radio Way are Monday mornings, and we do a show together on a Sunday night, and I help sort of produce Lara's show as well. So
We pre-record that sometimes.
Yeah.
2 o'clock in the morning we have done it.
Yeah, we've been there 2 o'clock with pre-recording stuff. We've done that in the past.
Yeah, we've certainly put the hours in.
But yeah, there are a number of times. I mean, the way Radio Way works, if I don't go in, I'll let them know I've got to work this Monday, I can't come in. And that's been the case for the last few Mondays, unfortunately. So I'll let the committee know at the radio station, and there'll be sort of a mixture of music, pre-recorded music that goes out in my place. But I do sort of when I can, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, because the shows you do are very much live shows as well. It's my show I can quite easily record because it's more a kind of...
Can't really record a morning show. I mean, 9 till 12, it's a sort of a newsy current affairs and things.
Breaking news or something, then
exactly, yeah.
Could be a bit dodgy.
Yeah. Any more questions? Anyone else want to ask anything on this page?
Do you transmit to Justice and Peters?
No, we transmit to Ashford as well at the moment. We used to do Weybridge in the past, and then they were all... Back in the 70s and 80s, there was all these community hospitals, Elmsmere Hospital and Bolton Hospital. We used to broadcast to all of them via phone lines, but over the years, it's sort of been cut back, and as the hospitals have all merged and things, but it's just St Peter's and Ashford and on the internet as well at the moment.
Actually, tell us, we were talking a little bit, we touched on this earlier. Mm-hmm. Tell me about, the struggles we are having you know, in the hospitals now, because it really isn't easy when we do go up.
No.
Do you want to explain why?
I mean, okay, the main thing, as I mentioned, the patients don't stay in for as long as they have done in the past. So as I think I mentioned earlier, you know, 20, 30 years ago, you go to hospital for procedure, you'll be in for a week, now you're in and out in a day. So it's quite hard to build up the audience that way. Yeah. I mean, there are still sort of long stay. We do see sort of regular faces week after week, which is nice. And also the technology, mentioned that as well. But, you know, people can take their iPads in, people can take their phones in, they can watch their TV and everything else. So that's sort of become more...
And the actual units themselves as well in the hospitals are becoming, they're getting ripped out every day. And
we've got these things, they call them bedside entertainment systems. I don't know if any of you are familiar with the bed, these TV screens above the beds in hospitals.
The big clunky things.
Yes, the big things, yes. They're very cumbersome and we tend to find that they get sort of shoved out the way and people don't really know what they're there for. So I have to go around and explain to people and,
Tune them in.
Yeah, tune them in. And, and then you've got things like headphones not being available and things like that, and computers crashing. And, you know, sometimes I wish, you know, I love technology, but I wish, you know, when I started, you just get a stethoscope style headphone tube, put it in a wall unit and press a button and away you go. But now you've got to reset computers and everything else. And,
and you've also got to contend with the whole fact now that, you know, they don't want them because of the MRSA.
Well, yeah, of course, because we live in a very different world. I mean, you know, people hadn't even heard of MRSA years ago, but now it's like, oh, we got these things, they're a health hazard and all this sort of thing. So, I mean, it hasn't really come up as such, but it's something that's...
And something we've been addressing is, you know, to try and overcome this, because it's kind of our problem, because we're trying to broadcast to people and they can't hear us. And a lot of people aren't savvy with things like the... iPads. So we're trying to actually install internet radios into the wards, aren't we?
We've done this a lot in a number of wards. So we get some internet radios, which we were able to get at a reasonable cost from our charitable funds, because we are a registered charity. And we basically put them in the bays and people can listen that way. We just got to stop people putting Capital and Heart on.
Yeah.
I'm forever going up retuning them. You know. We'll take that off. You don't want to listen to that. You know, that's our radio, you're not listening to. So that's it, the struggles. But, you know, you do get times when you meet someone. It's like the other day, Lara was in the studio doing a programme. I was going around the wards and you were saying, John's coming up to the wards. And there was actually a lady actually waiting for me. She was looking out the window.
Fan club.
Is this the man from the radio? I'm like, yeah, it's me. Yeah. Another funny story. I remember once, I've now learnt... I thought, you know, to dress up, to go around the wards, give a good impression. So I wore quite a smart shirt and some nice trousers and had my ID badge on. Went up to this gentleman in the wards. Hi, I'm from the hospital radio. Would you like us to play you some music today? And he said, are you a doctor? I was like, no. And from that moment on, he thought I was a doctor. He's, what time's my operation? I said, no, I can't offer, you know. I haven't got experience in heart surgery. But can't help with that. But I'll play you something from Joey and the Pacemaker at the meantime.
And, and weren't you mistaken? Because it was with me as well. You were mistaken for a vicar.
I was actually,
The lady was convinced that it was her local vicar and she wouldn't have it.
No, I told her. I'm not, no.
So they had to leave him there for a few hours.
Just from the hospital radio. Like, that's it.
So you've got a massive history. You've got a real good grounding on the hospital radio. And you've moved into the community radio side of things. Tell me about radio working and... Yeah, right. How it differs as well. So a couple of questions there for you.
Yeah, okay. So, as I say, I've been radio away for many years, nearly 20 years now. And, you know, I really enjoy being part of a team there. But I like sort of the community aspect as well. And I feel there's a radio station. We broadcast at Winston Churchill School. It's Radio Woking. And the great thing about Radio Woking is it's on digital radio, DAB radio. So you can actually tune in your DAB radio and you can listen to it. So I got involved. The guy that runs it actually used to be involved with Radio Way, so I had a sort of a contact there, and I went along and said, look, I'd love to get involved. And I was offered the Wednesday morning breakfast show, which is what I've been doing every Wednesday, which means I get out of bed at 5:30 in the morning and go into a 2-hour radio show 7 till 9 and then go to work afterwards. So I'm pretty knackered by the time we get to Wednesday night, but you know, I enjoy doing it, and I think I quite like the energy of a breakfast show.
Yeah, because it does feel more faster paced.
It is.
Traffic, how do you get all this traffic news that you have to do?
Traffic news, yes. 15 minute travel news bulletins.
This is the only man that can make a motorway congestion sound really good and exciting.
Well, you just don't know. You just don't don't know the word. So I sit down and be like, there's, I'm trying to think of a word. The word I wanted was congestion. I was like, there's, oh, I couldn't think of the word, just went through my head. I was like, there's like lots of cars, what's the word? And then traffic, and I was like, congestion. I was like, yeah, that's the word I'm looking
He's
for.
He's inventing words every week. Sticky, that's a latest
yeah.
one.
They're yeah, the M25 is bummed up at the moment. I think I used the word constipated once, actually.
And you've had some interviews on there as well. So how do they differ as well? Because you have more time on Radio Way. And
yeah, because Radio Way, on a Monday morning, I have 3 hours and it's a daytime programme between 9 and 12. So it's more kind of relaxed than Radio Woking. Because Radio Woking, it's breakfast time. Mm. People aren't listening for as long. So I have to kind of make things a little bit shorter. That's something I find quite hard, actually, because, you know, I like talking to people and chatting up. Yeah, absolutely. I'm chatting away and suddenly you realise you've been talking for half an hour and it's like, oh, I should have had 2 travel news bulletins. I should have done this, that and the other. Like, okay. But it has to be punchier. And I sort of try and now allow myself.
There's very
minutes.
Different systems as well. And it is, music yes. already pre-done.
Yeah, all the music's done for me and it's just literally sit in front of a microphone and I can programme stuff on a computer. And as long as the computer works, I'm fine.
I think it'd be actually quite good if we could hear some of this Radio Woking show, just to see the very difference in shows as well and how you come across.
Absolutely.
It's also a clearer line, isn't it?
It is.
Being on the digital radio,
So this is actually, you can listen to radio. Yeah.
Anyone Radio Woking? Do you listen?
I've never.
Okay. Have you got digital radio, DAB radio? Okay, so if you tune in, rescan, or if you need to, and just search for Radio Woking, it will come up, and you can hear me on a Wednesday morning between 7 and 9. If you're up early. Yeah, I do find I'm getting quite a good following now on Radio Woking.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to have a bit more coverage, obviously.
Yeah.
You've got someone from Wales that tunes in. You've got
Radio Way, I interviewed a guy about who wrote a book about brain surgery, of all things, and he's sadly become our biggest fan now, so I don't quite know
how
that
happened. Welsh community.
I know.
Following Radio Woking.
Absolutely. So I do find that people, I find it's a better, although it's earlier in the morning, I find that 7 till 9 in the morning is a better time because most people listen to radio as they're getting ready for work. So, you know, people are getting up and they put the radio on as they're having their breakfast and everything. Whereas Radio Way, when I start on a Monday morning, people are already kind of out the door and at work and they're not really able to listen as much. But anyway, let's play a clip. This is me on Radio Woking.
Online and on DAB Digital Radio. This is Radio Woking.
Good morning.
John Andrews.
Good morning.
Breakfast with John Andrews.
You're listening to Radio Woking Breakfast with John Andrews.
Good morning. You're tuned into Radio Woking. This is Breakfast.
It is. I'm John Andrews. Hello. How are you? We're getting through this January thing together, aren't we? Good music, travel, and loads of other stuff coming up. Probably start of the All Saints. Such a great analogy, isn't it? Comparing love to a roller coaster. Yeah, because you've got to wait around for ages for it. Is that why? Great song, and I hope that's put a smile on your face and woken you up. On this Wednesday morning, it's 16 minutes past 7. John Andrews here with your breakfast show from Radio Woking, live at the Woking Studios. That's where I am right now, talking to you. Hope you're well this morning. The travel news, the first bulletin from the travel desk on the way. I say travel desk, it's more of a travel bit of paper, but desk sounds more... It gives it a more of a sense of grandeur, I feel. That's on the way after a bit of a show where I get you to do some work. Yes, it's time for this.
This is the Breakfast Brain Bender on Radio Woking.
Yeah, it is. I'll give you a question, you give me an answer, and if you get it right, then you could potentially be my boffin of the morning. Sounds really simple, yeah? Except it is a bit of an impossible question. There could be quite a few answers. You have to get the right one. But if you get it wrong, you get a mention on the show as well this morning. So it could potentially be a win-win for you. So your breakfast brain bender for you this morning then. Are you ready for this? Britons spend 66% more than the French on this. What is it? That is your breakfast brain bender. So us Brits
spent 66% more than the Thrench on this particular thing, what would it be? Any thoughts? Yeah, probably best to have a guess, if I'm being completely honest. Give me a call with your ideas on this. 01483 485 265. The number of times I've forgotten my bag for life. I've got a cupboard full of bags for life at home. I'm so disorganised. I end up just this cupboard overflowing with bags, and when I go to shop, I have to buy another one because I haven't actually got one. Either that, or I balance all my shopping under my chin. And I make a gracious exit to the car, hoping I don't drop anything. I've done that before, I can tell you. Just to save 5p, but it's something that's always been 3. And we just don't really want to be paying for it. So it makes you think, and it's had a big reduction on their use. 90% reduction in use of single-use carrier bags since the tax came in.
Thanks, Hugo. I live in Byfleet, where I'm an admin on a Facebook group called Byfleet Rocks. Those sort of rocks, they're being painted by the children and adults alike. Everyone's really getting involved and getting creative and creating these little masterpieces for everyone to go and find and relocate.
So would you say you're quite a creative person yourself then?
Sometimes. Yeah, I think so. What do you reckon, Finlay?
I think your detail on your foot and your Mummy makes the Greedy done really well on it, and so I think that deserves a really big well done.
Oh, there you go. That's so cute, isn't it? So, yeah, that last bit was a thing called Byfleet Rocks. This is something that happens in Byfleet. People decorate rocks, and they hide them around the area, and then people find them and then put the pictures on the internet, which is a really nice idea, really, and people go hunting for them. So I got in touch and got them on the radio.
Okay, so we're going to start rounding things up because I'm conscious of the time as well, mm-hmm. as much as we'd love to.
Yeah.
What is the answer?
What is the answer? Yes, we're getting on to that, weren't we? Yes.
Because I wanted to say who was
alive. Yes. Anyone?
So, no, anyone have got any ideas?
One. Tea bags. No, not tea bags. No.
Not tea. No, anyone else? Tea.
Toilet paper.
No.
No, not toilet paper.
Should we tell you?
Yeah, go on then.
It was actually clothing.
Surprisingly. Mm. Yeah. Probably because we pay more over here than them.
Yeah, I think that's probably
Let's not
what
get
is.
Into politics of it. Anyway.
Okay, so final kind of wrap-up mm-hmm. questions. What does the future hold for you in radio, and what do you want to go into? If you could do anything in radio, what do you want to do?
I quite like the idea of, I don't know if radio, it's sort of trying to work out, I suppose, whether it's a hobby and something I'm really passionate about, or it's something that I can take further and turn into a career. But, you know, if the opportunity arose, you know, local radio, community radio would be really good because I love talking to people locally, you know, and sometimes it's much more interesting just chatting to someone with a local story to tell on a local level rather than chatting to the big celebrities, because, you know, the celebrities are there to sell their album, their book, whatever it may be. But, you know, as I said before, everyone's got a story, so carry on what I'm doing. And, you know, if the right opportunity arose, you know, for community radio station or, you know, one of the other local stations possibly, that would be something to look at. And I'd also like to come up with some sort of scheme, as I mentioned, with the learning difficulties, just to involve people in radio, because, as I said, I think that's definitely a positive thing. So that's sort of a dream of mine.
You've seen work in Epsom, is it?
Yep. There's actually Surrey Choices, one of all the day centres around the area. And they've actually got a radio station in Epsom called Direction Radio, which is something I've seen working. I have no involvement in it myself, but they basically invite people in and they get given a slot and they get supported to do radio. And a similar scheme running in Bracknell as well. But I think there's definitely a lack of that in this particular area, actually in Woking. So that could potentially be something that I could look at doing in the future.
And definitely seeing people come alive when they've, you know, when you give them the opportunity to come back to Radio A.
Absolutely.
And
I mean, you
get
know.
Behind the mic, and many of them have really got unbelievable knowledge of music as well. It puts me to shame.
I mean, yeah, with Mark, who I mentioned before, who kind of personally introduced me, if you like, to sort of the world of learning difficulties. He used to come down, and, you know, when I started, I'd turn up and I'd have, you know, reams of paper and newspapers and, you know, big bag of everything, just more stuff than I could ever need, just so I'm covered. And he'll turn up with his Sainsbury's carry bag with 5 CDs, sit in front of the microphone, and he'll be like, that's a song from Joni Mitchell, and he'll give Joni Mitchell's life story just from his mind. So, you know, people with Asperger's and autism, I think that is just such an amazing thing. And, you know, the memory, and it's kind of tapping into that. And
that will just help them to grow in confidence. Mm. So, yeah.
And talking of amazing, I think it's been amazing hearing your story.
Thank you.
And I hope you all agree.
Hope you all enjoyed it.
And if anyone's got any questions, you're available as well. After
I am, yeah. Any questions now?
Anyone can...
yes.
Any more questions?
How do you liaise with the hospital authorities? What is the arrangement? I mean, you know, yeah. Presumably they can... They would say, well, you shouldn't go in that ward.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, so what we do is on a day-to-day level, if we go request collecting, there has been a number of times when wards have been, I don't know if in lockdown's the right word, but, you know, vomiting and all sorts of bugs and things. And so they put a sign up and they say, you know, essential visiting only. And to me, that will, essential visiting would be, you know, friends and family. So, you know, I would then sort of say step back in that situation. But I'd always go up to the nurse's station, you know, and I have an ID badge as well, because obviously security is very important, and a swipe card so I can get in sometimes if the doors are shut and everything. But I'll go and introduce myself to my nurse at the desk and I'll say, hi, I'm from the hospital radio, just here to collect some requests. Is that okay? And anywhere I shouldn't go. And I'll just don't go in bay 6 over there. And that sort of works well.
The other side to it is we are governed by a committee as well. So they have they kind of hold the relationship with the kind of the hospital exec as well.
Yes, because we are actually at St Peter's Hospital. We're in a we moved to St Peter's in 1989, having been at Weybridge Hospital in a building they called the Shoebox. It was this tiny little room which I had, and it just became so unfit for purpose. So I moved it all across to St Peter's in 89 in an old telephone exchange, actually. So we've been there, and the building, it's one of those buildings that's probably supposed to be designed to last temporarily. It was put up about 60 years ago, and it's still there, so it starts to show its
rabbits
sign.
Love it.
Yeah, we did have a rabbit once. We found a rabbit in the studio outside. That's a funny story. I've got to tell you about the rabbit. We turned up one morning and there was this rabbit. It looked a bit poorly. So we thought we'd bring it into the studio complex.
You thought I'd bring it into. I said, don't touch it.
Scooped it up, put it in a cardboard box, and we were on the phone to the RSPCA, playing records and phoning up the RSPCA and trying to work out what to do with it. And
it escaped.
And luckily we managed to get it before it disappeared behind the wires and stuff, because that would be awkward to explain that one, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So we let it go in the end, because I think it was just dehydrated. Not that I'm an animal expert when it comes to
that. Once it
heard me on the radio, it perked up, didn't it? Yeah. There you go. That's all we needed. Music's the best medicine.
Any more questions, anyone?
Do the patients have to pay to listen to the radio?
No, they don't. It's a free service. Obviously, we're all volunteers at the hospital, part of a volunteer. I'm a volunteer, so we don't get paid. And the service radio way is available on the entertainment system, but it's free of charge, so... That you get the cards to watch TV, you pay £3, whatever it is for a day, but the radio is available always for free, so there's no charge for that at all.
Yeah, and the good news is that's the only radio station they can get.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've taken.
If they do manage to work out how to use it,
we've slowly taken everybody else off. You know, Radio 2, we can push down that way,
But now they're getting by that with the internet radio.
Yeah. So.
Thank you. Anyone else? Are we.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, thank you very much.
We're all done then,
John and Lara. I think your interview technique worked very well indeed.
Okay.
Mm. Brought out
audience with
aspects.
Yes.
It's interesting how high technology has helped you, but it's also you're fighting against it now.
Yes, very much.
With all the modern media. I'm not a social media person at all,
it's sort of a good side and a bad side.
That's my job. I can come and do a social media one if anyone's interested.
But I must say, I greatly admire the work you do, and especially among disabled and disadvantaged people, giving them a voice.
Yes, definitely.
It must boost their confidence.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I've seen how radio has boosted my confidence, and I'm going to kind of try to replicate that with people, you know.
Very wonderful.
Well,
I think it's quite wonderful what you're doing, and I think we should.
Thank you. Hey, I have got some pictures and bits and pieces here if anyone wants to come and have a look. They're all on the table here, so come and have a look.